The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties, and a lot of those cities, believe it or not, have properties for under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first property out of state in the next 4 months, I encourage you to apply to my out-of-state coaching program. I purchased properties out of state, and it's absolutely changed my life completely. The same is possible for you too. You simply need the right information. That's all it takes. My program will provide you the hands-on support and a step-by-step process to buy that first property within 4 months. So go to outofstatemoney.com to apply today. Again, outofstatemoney.com to apply today. And I look forward to talking to you soon.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue. And the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
Hey, are you struggling to manage your real estate business right now? Are you using various spreadsheets and random tools and systems that aren't connected and really aren't helping you at all? If this sounds like you, you need a partner like Baselane. Baselane is the number one banking platform that's built for real estate investors. So whether you have one property, whether you have 100 properties, we all know the job of a landlord is never done. You need a tool where you can effectively manage your business. Baselane's banking platform is built for your real estate business. It's banking, online rent collection, bookkeeping, analytics, and so much more. And it's all in one place. So with Baselane, you don't have to worry about going through these various spreadsheets and tools. You can do it all right here. Also, it's 100% free. So you can take control of your rental property business and your finances and ultimately increase your rental income. We know that's what it's all about. So you can join a group of over 40,000 real estate investors who trust Baselane to manage their rental property with confidence. Opening an account takes just a minute. So go over to baselane.com/Sam right now and sign up for a chance to win a $500 Amazon gift card. So that's baselane.com/Sam. Again, baselane.com/Sam. All right, everyone, welcome to the Black Real Estate Dialogue Podcast, episode 210. A few quick announcements before we get into this week's episode. If you haven't already, please be sure to leave us a rating and review. It helps us go up in the rankings, reach more people, spread this message to our community all over the world. And it takes you like 10 seconds. And if you do that, I'll definitely give you a shout out on the show, and then I'll shoot you a free training on how to find and evaluate properties. Just shoot me an email of your submission. My email is in the show notes, and I'll get that over to you. So looking forward to hearing from you. Also, you have probably been hearing over the last couple of weeks about my 5-day Keys to Home Ownership Challenge. I have an exciting update. General admission for this 5-day virtual challenge has been updated to be free. So now you have no excuse. So click the link in the description of this episode to learn more about what's included in the 5-day challenge. And I strongly encourage that you join. Come spend 5 days with me. Learn what you need to do to buy a property in 2024. And I look forward to seeing you there. Super excited about this episode with Krista Stoneham. She is the CEO of the Houston Land Bank. And we just had an awesome conversation about the work that she does, the work that the organization does, what's going on in Houston, and so much more. So without further ado, let's get into it.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel and like this video. If you're on audio, make sure to leave us a rating and review. We definitely would appreciate it, and it goes a long way. We're live in Houston. Very excited about this episode. Here with me today, I have Krista Stoneham, who is the CEO of the Houston Land Bank. Krista, thank you so much. I really appreciate you jumping on the show today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Definitely, definitely. So for those who don't know who you are, we'd love if you could just introduce yourself and share more about who you are and what you do.
Absolutely. So my background's in architecture and community development. I went to Prairie View A&M University. I'm a proud 3-time grad, originally from California. And when I came here to Houston, well, the greater Houston area, and really understood the systems that were in place that helped design inequities, I said I really wanted to be a part of the solution, right? As a problem solver, but also as a change agent, I really wanted to impact policies, programs, and physical projects. And that has transformed in different methods of my career. And I'm so grateful to be here in this seat in order to help open up more doors and pathways for people that look like me and those that, you know, beyond in additional generations to create more opportunities for economic wealth.
that, I mean, we can edit there. You said it all.
Let's do it.
But so we loved, when you were hired, you were the youngest CEO of a land bank in the country, right?
Correct.
Congrats on that.
Thank you. That's huge. I didn't know.
Yeah.
Virtually, but yeah, once I started like actually assessing, I'm like, oh wow, okay, Houston really is changing the game, and I don't even think Houston knows how much we're changing the game, but we will say.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Well, how did it feel when you found that out?
It was humbling, very humbling, because I never would have looked at myself in that manner in the past. If you would ask me, I would be like, child, you chipping. Like, but really, I can understand how I've just continued to walk in and walk in faith and just refuse to let anybody put me in a box, refuse to accept just whatever answer someone told me, and just continue to authentically be myself and show up fully.
Definitely. Mm. I love that. So investing in the land bank is something that my audience has expressed a lot of interest in. And I mean, I've seen online just people talking more about working with land banks and things of that nature. So could you talk about just some of the benefits of working with the Houston Land Bank in particular?
Sure. And I can also say just in general with land banks.
Yeah.
So it's a national model, right? There's over 300 across the U.S. Each of them kind of have their own different ways of how they implement programming, but the missions are pretty consistent in terms of we're here to revitalize vacant, abandoned, dilapidated properties and to put things back on the tax roll. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're doing affordable housing, environmental justice, economic development in communities of colors like we do here in Houston. It could technically mean that you're taking an abandoned site and turning it into a baseball stadium, or you're turning it into a high luxury condominium development, whatever that looks like for that particular city. But here in Houston, we're here about making sure that we are streamlining solutions for economic mobility for our builders and developers that work with us, right? Because we give our land to them at a reduced cost so they can in turn take that equity and pass it on to a home buyer. So it's really a twofold and I would say really threefold process of how we're impacting programs and policies and physical projects, so we can be more of an ecosystem, because that's really what I seek to do, is how do I get to that root cause of why our families are making 10 times less than white families, right? And it's a layered approach.
Yeah.
And to be honest, it's heavy, but it's not as heavy when you have great partners that are doing it with you.
Definitely. Mm. So I'd love to break that down a little bit further. So you mentioned a program for, I think, builders, developers, where they get the land at a lower cost, and in turn, when they build, they sell it at a lower cost to the end buyer, is that right?
Yes, okay. Yes. The goal is so they don't have to eat those costs. They can still feed their families, but then they're passing on the benefit of that subsidy support that we gave to them on to an income-eligible home buyer.
Right, and I mean, I like that a lot, because like what you hear in the news right now is like affordable housing and, and it's a crisis and people can't afford homes. But to your point, everyone who's involved in the process still needs to feed their family, right? And so I think it's great that there's a program to help like builders, help developers, but also it still helps someone get a home. It helps them still be able to make money, pay their bills, pay their staff. So I mean, it's kind of full circle.
Yeah. I mean, when you talk about affordable housing, there's usually a negative stigma, right? People assume that it's Section 8 or extremely low income. And yes, that's a need. But when you say affordable housing, like affordable for who? Right? Mm-hmm. Is it affordable for a young professional who may be a teacher or a firefighter or a newly married couple or a mom, you know, a single mom or someone, you know, who's divorced, whatever that situation looks like, you have to have diverse housing solutions and typologies for them. And I think it takes an agency like us in order to show people like you can have a one bedroom house and like that's okay.
Yeah.
But you can also upscale to the typical three bed, two bath. There's so much more than this suburban kind of American dream that I don't even know where that came from, to be honest. But that's just not reality, and especially not for us.
Yeah. Let's talk a bit more about that. Because I know, you know, a lot of people's aspirations are to move to the suburbs because they don't feel that, you know, where they grew up at is suitable, or the city is suitable for living the kind of life they want to live.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily agree with that, but no, I'd like to hear more of your thoughts on it.
I mean, I don't necessarily agree either, but I understand. But I think what they also should know, if you're going to make that choice, is the reason the community you came from is the reason it's in the conditions that it's in is because it was intentionally designed in that way, yeah. right? The system was designed to make sure that Black people could not access wealth-building opportunities. So, and then some of the old properties here in Houston, you can still see it in the deed restrictions, right? It doesn't mean that it's still valid, but it absolutely was intentionally designed. It was the law. Hell, we couldn't even read, right? So why could we have access to a home to shelter our families?
Yeah, no, it makes a lot of sense. And funny enough, that's one of the things that inspired me to just like do what I'm doing, because I didn't know, but I went to some event and they were talking about those like racially restrictive deeds and covenants and stuff, and it blew my mind. I mean, because, you know, in theory, like, you hear about these things, but when you see someone who lives near you say, oh yeah, this is actually, when I bought my property, I saw that this used to be, like, I couldn't have bought it 50, 60 years ago. So that's mind-blowing stuff.
Yeah, so it's like, if you want to go to the suburbs for your family and that's the best decision for your family, that's fine. But also, one, don't forget where you came from, right? Because most likely you had some kind of, somebody helped you to get out. But know that, once again, this was created to make sure that you don't get out. Yeah. So why can't we come together to invest intentionally into the systems that need to take place so we can be a part of the solution instead of just running away from it?
Yeah.
Because it's not going to change until you do something about it.
I agree. I agree, because, you know, a lot of people are waiting for someone else from outside to
No one's gonna save you, dog. No one's gonna save you. That doesn't mean that no one will help you, though. But you have to be vulnerable enough to say that I don't understand, or can you explain this more, and be intentional about creating relationships and not just transactions. Don't just call me because you want access to the land. Call me because you care about the mission that I'm seeking to achieve.
Yeah, I love that. What's that experience been like, Rick? I'm sure the land bank gets a ton of like inquiries from either people trying to buy homes or whatever the case is.
Yeah.
What are some things people can do better when they reach out to you all?
Oh, I mean, well, one, I don't answer the phone, so.
Yeah, to the staff.
No, I mean, from what I hear in terms of feedback is, it's not that people aren't asking great questions. They're just trying to understand how to access opportunities. Yeah. And we're happy to help be a resource, right? We are a public service provider because we are government. So I don't discourage people from asking questions and understanding. Just seek to understand. But also do your homework, though, because I think people make assumptions that because bank is in my name, that I have a check, that I can help you with your development. And that's not the case at all. Yeah. So definitely do your homework. So at least you can get more value when you do reach out to me or someone on the staff. At least try to understand, like, you know, I read about this. Can you help break this down? Yeah. But don't just come blind. No one's going to give you the answer to the test, right? Yeah. You need to sit down and actually read the book.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I was checking out the website just in preparation, and it's pretty comprehensive, I think, just with the information for the different programs and income limits, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, encourage people to check that out first at minimum.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, this YouTube stuff that I want to do to help educate, because I also understand AMI, people may not understand, right?
That's true.
I really seek to try to bring it down to an elementary level to where if I'm talking to a child, they know exactly what I'm saying, because this impacts us, you know, it impacts all of us. And I think the younger that you understand the importance of wealth building, the better it will be for generations and for the solutions.
Definitely makes a lot of sense. So speaking of AMI, like, can you explain what that is for somebody who may not have heard about it before?
Sure. It's area median income. It's, I guess, a definition, if you would call it that, that was defined by the government, specifically the Housing and Urban Development Department.
Yeah.
And it basically helps to determine, when we're saying affordability, what is that measure of how much a family should make in order to say that this is affordable or this is not affordable? So there's different brackets and tiers, right? So there's a, I believe it starts at 30% of the AMI, and basically they calculate how much income people are making in a metropolitan area. So for Houston, it's, you know, it's us, and I think it also includes a little bit of the Woodlands and maybe Spring, et cetera. It's a national model of how they assess the data, that when we fill out the census and all those different things, how much money is made in this area, what percentage of that amount is 30% is, you know, this family size 60% is this family size, et cetera. Yeah. So it's a math problem. Yeah. If you want to call it that.
That makes a lot of sense. So I was looking at some of the programs for people who are looking to either build their own home or purchase a home. Mm. Can you explain how those programs work?
Sure. So right now we have two programs, and there's more that's coming that I'm happy to paint a little bit of a picture on. One is called our traditional home buyers program, which is a little bit what I described in terms of we have our properties, we sell them to our builders and developers for a discounted rate, so they can produce the home at a maximum sales price that we determine, right? So another math problem, but basically it's just saying that we have a pool of people that we work with, and in order to be a part of that pool, you have to apply with us to say that you have experience. You have to at least build at least two homes before coming to us. As much as I want to help startup, we just can't afford that risk to give you the property with no prior experience. But what I can do is say that you can partner with somebody who can oversee that process, because we want you to succeed. Yeah. And we also want that product that you're constructing to go to someone who needs it for their family. Yeah. So that's one track. The other one is a program in partnership with the city of Houston. So they're the ones that created us, because we're a government nonprofit. And basically it's a partnership where they can construct, use their own funding on our properties. We sell that home on their behalf, and then that also gets sold to an income eligible home buyer. We get reimbursed for the cost of our property, and then we give them back the portion for the construction and, you know, the bricks and stakes.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So how long have you been CEO of Land Bank now?
2 years now.
2 years. What have been some of the challenges that you experienced?
I think just changing the narrative of what we can do. I think that people just assume that it's only just affordable housing, because that's what we've done for the past 20-something years.
Yeah.
But really, we're here to do community development solutions, which means I can do economic development and commercial. I can do a food forest. I can do flood resiliency. I can really develop or work with a developer on whatever solutions needed for the neighborhood to help be a catalyst for change. So part of it's change management, just kind of understanding that there's so much more that we could do. It's okay to step outside of the comfort zone.
Yeah.
And then also just me being out there. I think a lot of people don't know about the resource at all in Houston. I think things have improved in this past 2 years, because I've done, I think this last year, I think I did like 50 speaking engagements.
Wow.
Like I've intentionally gone to communities, gone to conferences, gone to places where I want to at least say that you know the opportunity. Whether it's the best fit for you or not, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you can't really even make that choice if you don't know it exists.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. What's been some of the pushback that you've received just in proposing new things to explore? Has it been more so like, this is just the way we've done it, or just like a discomfort with anything new? Like, what has that been like?
Yeah, I mean, I will say in terms of internally, like my board, I have 13 board members, has been absolutely amazing working with them. Mm-hmm. They totally understand where we're trying to go and innovation, and have been extremely supportive of just the lessons learned that we're finding out as we're doing the work in real time.
Yeah.
In terms of externally, sometimes it depends, to be honest, who I'm talking to. Some people are like, I got it. Some people are like, why are you doing all that? Yeah. You're just supposed to be in this box. But, you know, don't nobody put baby in the corner. So it's just, you know, letting them know, you know, I understand what you're saying, but no, that's not actually going to happen that way, especially because I have my board to support the actions that we're doing. And I just more so take the approach, if I can show you better, I can tell you, right? I'm not here to convince anybody about what change is needed, what route is needed. We just don't do it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Just like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so do you anticipate maybe having a program with investors to rehab existing properties?
That's something that I'm looking into. Mm-hmm. So we did procure some builders. I think there's about maybe 4 or 5 of them to help us with rehabs. We haven't looked intentionally into finding properties yet, but we are exploring that as an option.
Yeah.
Also considering, is there an investment capital model to where, is there a way that if you invest in us or somehow that passes down to the builder, you can get a return on your investment, just because it is such a challenge to continue the mission in the current operational state.
Yeah.
We definitely need to evolve and expand because when we first started over 20 years ago, getting land for, you know, $1,500 is definitely a whole nother story. So we need to respond to what needs to take place. And those are the innovative models that we're exploring now.
Hey, there are so many real estate opportunities out there in 2024, and I don't want you to miss out. You might feel like you don't have good credit. You might feel like you don't have a lot of money. You might even feel that interest rates are too high or that the home prices are too high. Believe me, I completely understand. The good thing is there's still a ton of opportunity out there, and it's important for you to get ready for when your time comes. When I got started, I didn't have a lot of money. In fact, I was living in a 300 square foot apartment at the time, and I still managed to get that first property. What that means is that you just need some creativity and a plan, as well as the right information, and you can do it too. I want you to join me at my 5-day challenge. It's called Keys to Home Ownership, and it is free. General admission to the challenge is free. And in this challenge, you'll learn how to create a foundation for success. You'll learn how to run the numbers and analyze properties to ensure that you're gonna make cash flow before you even go forward with that property. You're going to learn how to fund that property. You're going to learn about grants for home buyers and so much more. I want to see you there. And as I mentioned, general admission to this 5-day virtual challenge is 100% free. So you have no excuse. Click the link in the description. We get started on Sunday, March 3rd, which is very soon. So click the link in the description and get your ticket today.
That makes a lot of sense. Hmm. So we're in the 5th Ward right now.
Yes, we are. This is my home. I live here.
Oh,
I love the fit.
Right up my alley with the next question. So I've just been hearing so much about the development of the area, mm-hmm. and you're a resident of the area. So love if you could talk more about that and just like what's coming down the pipeline, because as I'm driving around, I'm just amazed with what I see.
Yeah. So I've had the pleasure of being mentored by Kathy Flanagan Payton, who is the president and CEO of 5th Ward CRC. They've been here for 30 years doing the work. Wow. Cultivating the farm, right? You need to clear out the weeds. You need to plant some seeds. You need to let it germinate, right? Yeah. So the result of where we are is really because of them. And that started at the Pleasant Hill Church. They're the ones that created it. So I just want to say that as a disclaimer, Chris didn't do these things. but I have been educated, because I also want to be sure when I'm in communities, I listen to their stories, right? It's not my vision of what I want to see. It's our vision. And I'm bringing my professional expertise, but your professional experience and the history that I want to be sure is, shine bright upon. So in terms of 5th Ward, Lyons Avenue is really what they're focused on revitalizing to bring back the vibrancy that was here once, right? And being even here in the historic Deluxe Theater I'm just so mindful of like who walked in these same steps, right? And honoring that. So it's such a beautiful thing to see and be a part of. And that's why I wanted to move here. Yeah. And I am. I love it here.
That's amazing.
I love all communities, but I'm here for 5th Ward too.
Absolutely. So you mentioned bringing Lyons Avenue back to what it used to be. What did it used to be? What was it like?
Oh, I mean, just like all the other Black Wall Streets, right? Tulsa wasn't the only one, especially with segregation, right? We had to be in the community, which means we had commercial corridors. Yep. Lyons Avenue was in, 5th Ward. Acres Home has West Montgomery. 3rd Ward is Emancipation Avenue. We all had a heart somewhere that where the barbershop and the dentist was, right? Where you would go and, see Ms. Johnson. I don't know if she had a garden, there was a natural meeting places. And that's what 5th Ward was.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, Lyons Avenue, 5th Ward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I'm just like very encouraged just being in this atmosphere, like talking to all the people, all the great people we have here at the conference. And, I'm excited for what's to come, and I hope to come back and see even more development,
Absolutely.
It's just talking to guys like, I'm building here. Doing this, doing that. And it's like, what other community deserves it more than us? I'm biased, but hey, that's just how I feel.
Hey, and that's okay.
Yeah.
I also say with 5th Ward, it also was very much of a music and cultural district, right? 5th Ward had, I forgot specifically what it was called, but they had our own cotton club, right?
Yeah.
So natural, Zydeco and jazz music and all the things took place right here and across the street, and bringing that back. So 5th Ward is also the first cultural arts district, I believe in Texas, if I remember correctly. And they're bringing back some of that culture by, even right behind this building, creating artist lofts, right? Yeah. To where the creative community can have somewhere to live. And that's affordable housing. There's going to be an art and creative content warehouse right down the street there. So definitely people are moving back to where we were, but back better. And we're doing it together. So it's really refreshing to see the sparks that are happening, right? Yeah. Because when iron sharpens iron, sparks fly. So let's light it up. Let's do it.
Absolutely. For the artists, are those shotgun homes behind there? Okay, I was wondering what
Yeah, and you see like they're starting some of the construction.
Yeah. That's cool. And I think it's cool that it seems to me that in my conversations and talking to you, it seems to me that in Houston, there are things for different people, right? So you mentioned for the artists, and then you mentioned like affordable homes for people to buy and all these things. I think that's what makes a great city, when you can do your best to meet the needs of the broad population. So I think that's powerful.
Absolutely. It takes tailor-made solutions, but someone who actually wants to take the time, because it's so much easier to do a cookie cutter.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in and out. This is my return of investment model. This is what I do. And I'm not getting any deeper than that. Yeah. That's fine. And that's what you want to do. I'm not going to judge you. But I know I'm in it for the long haul, and I'm going to roll my sleeves up, and I'm here.
I love it. So what are some things that you're hoping to do in the coming years with the land bank and just within the community in general?
Right now, my biggest focus and platform is environmental justice. Definitely with Houston having no zoning, and not saying zoning is perfect, there's a lot of contamination everywhere. We're also an oil and gas city, right? And it's no secret that the contamination is in our communities, and it leaves them continuously to be blighted because it's more expensive to clean it up, or even if it's not, it's the time that it takes to clean it up. So it just stays there, right? And no one's going to touch it. And I think that it's a healing process in order to acquire these sites that have underground storage tanks or contaminated soil. Fifth Ward also has a cancer cluster down the road.
What do you mean by that?
Oh, you don't know about the cancer cluster?
No.
Yeah, so it's literally called the Fifth Ward Cancer Cluster, where, I don't know if I'm supposed to say their names, but it's public information, but there are alleged accusations that the Union Pacific Railroad Company has been contaminating the soil. The community has been basically complaining about this for 100 years or so, and the data shows that they have higher rates of leukemia for children, you know, just overall health issues in Fifth Ward, also in the East End. But for sure, right now, Fifth Ward has received the most, quote-unquote, attention because the community refused to shut up about it. So now there is a lawsuit that was filed by the city of Houston in partnership with Harris County in order to do something about it. But that's going to take some time.
Yeah.
The previous administration with the city, which just ended last year, decided to invest some dollars to help relocate the families if they choose to.
Wow.
And that's something that's being discussed. And that's something that I volunteered to be a part of.
Yeah.
And we're discussing how can I potentially help relocate the families if they're a homeowner. I don't really have a model in place for renters unless they choose to be a homeowner and in order to relocate them on some of our land. Can we figure out how to get them out while the legal stuff is being handled? Because they should at least be able to sleep at night knowing that they can breathe.
Yeah. Yeah. That's terrible. Wow. Wow. Well, thanks.
I know, that's gotta sit, but supporting
with that.
Oh, absolutely.
I didn't know. Wow.
I mean, even if I didn't live here, I still would have done it.
Yeah.
But it makes me fight even harder because I do know some of them, right?
Yeah.
But I do see it as divine intervention because literally last year, I guess at that time, I think it was in my first year or whatever, I went to the National EPA conference, the Environmental Protection Agency, with some community members because we have a grant with them. And I was just listening, understanding more, like, what's going on? Like, I hear about it, but I want to understand. So they explained it to me. And I said, like, you know, if there's a way that I can build you out of there, I would. Like, I don't know how I could, but one thing I do know is I have some properties. I don't have a whole bunch of properties, yeah. But if I had the opportunity to help build you out, I would absolutely do that. And I'd, like, sincerely meant that. And I just met with a couple of the community members to say, like, this is my dream for us. Yeah. And circa a year later, when the mayor was like, we're going to do something about it, and we're going to figure out and do a task force, I immediately, like, wrote an email. I was like, please put me on there. And they said yes. Yeah. So I don't know specifically what's going to happen with that particular program, what's going to happen with the lawsuit, but I do know that I'm going to continue to try, and I'm going to fight, and I'm going to keep showing up and inviting myself to the table.
Yeah, and that's what we need to do.
Yeah, that's what we
do. That's what we need to do. So you have a very interesting career path that led you to this point, and you know, I think it's an encouragement as well. We haven't had an opportunity to talk about that just yet, but we'd love to just hear about your path to where you are today.
Yeah. I would say in a short form, which I'll elaborate, but just saying yes. I think that's like when I reflect and I continue to say yes. Sometimes I say no, though, because you need boundaries. But it started off with I wanted to go to HBCU. I'm originally from California, from the Bay Area, and as diverse as California is, there's not many leaders that are people of color, at least not from what I remember growing up. And I just wanted to go to HBCU. I remembered, not College Hill, child, help me. What was the show? What was the show, the spinoff of The Cosby Show?
Oh, man. Oh, A Different World?
Thank you.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was Freddie.
Oh, yeah, I remember Freddie.
Yeah, Freddie was the eccentric one. I was like, I love him.
Yeah.
So I was like, I want to be able to experience and be with people that look like me, yeah. Right? And that's where that started. And then I ended up in architecture school because at the time at Prairie View, they just constructed the new building.
Yeah.
And it was just so fascinating to me that it was the blend of art and science put together, because it's, especially that particular building, is very eccentric. It has all these different curves and different lines of how you interact in those different spaces. And I was like, oh, this is what architecture is? I thought it was just a whole bunch of math and a whole bunch of just sitting on my computer all day. But then when I understood that it's really an opportunity to create a place, and me being a creative person, I drove to that.
Yeah.
But then when I graduated with my master's, the market crashed. So I was like, okay, we need to go ahead and come up with a different path or figure out how can I make myself more marketable? How can I continue to sharpen my skills while nobody's building? And that's how I ended up in the community development program, not knowing that really my passion was being a developer. It wasn't necessarily being an architect, because it wasn't enough for me just to care about this one space that I'm designing. I care about the street. I care about the system. I care about how this all interconnects together. Mm-hmm. And I started actually as a design consultant, because I was like, I'm still going to get out here and I'm going to do what I need to do as for architectural designs. And then I worked with the city of Houston and the planning development department. But once again, Houston don't have zoning.
Yeah.
So what are we planning? Right? And what are we developing? Because the city doesn't really lead development either.
Yeah.
But it still was beneficial because it taught me about development regulations and what happens behind the scenes for developers who do want to move things forward. And then when I was there, there was an initiative that was coming out from the mayor's office called Complete Communities, which is about neighborhood development and doing it with neighborhoods, right? Yeah. It was about a community engaged approach on what to do with the neighborhoods in order to help heal and repair some of the systemic injustices that have taken place. And I volunteered. I said, hey, you know, I have architecture background. I have community development degree. I also had experience in grad school creating a strategic plan for the city of Prairie View, where I aligned the assets of the university with the needs of the city.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, if you need any help or support, just let me know. I'm happy to, like, chime in, Not knowing they would give me a whole community, right? Let alone a community I knew nothing about. They gave me Acres Home and the community that the mayor was from at the time.
Yeah.
So I was just like, well, I don't really know what this means, but I'm just going to go and be myself, and I'm going to ask questions, and I want to learn and understand. Basically, that ended up becoming an action plan for the neighborhoods, and it categorized what they wanted to see in parks and green space and infrastructure projects. It had like 90-something projects prioritized with action steps with no money. So then I started like building relationships with local community colleges and AT&T and whoever I could talk to just about, hey, do you realize that this is needed in the neighborhood and that you have the resource to do that? Yeah. Let's figure out like what that means. That ended up me raising $30 million. I transferred to the mayor's office, helped to oversee all 10 of the neighborhoods in the Complete Communities program. And at that time, the seat for the land bank position to be on the board was open because they needed a city representative. So I was like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that because the land bank is serving the same communities that I'm serving. I want to help help connect the dots of what the city is doing with what y'all are doing, and just kind of became an ally of it. So I was on the board for about a year and a half. And then when my predecessor moved on, I put my name in the hat and they said, yeah.
Power of saying yes.
Say yes. Just say yes. If it's in alignment with what you know you need. And yeah. Like only you know that feeling that's in your gut and that yeah. God tells you. Yeah. And it really was an enlightening moment when I was going through the interview process, because it was like a 4-month process. I had so many interviews. And I remembered back when I was in architecture school, and my dream was to design a community and the buildings inside of it, but I never knew that's what a developer was. Yeah. People used to tell me, you can either be an urban planner or an architect. And I was like, no, I'm both. But I didn't know that's what a developer was. So as I was going through the interview process, and they're asking me all these questions of like, how do you deal with challenges? And how do you stay encouraged? And whatever else they're saying. And I'm just remembering that younger version of myself with this big dream, not knowing what that meant, circa 10 years later, to actually be in the position to do it. And I yeah. just like, yeah, I was like, that was nothing but God.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's very encouraging mm-hmm. to have a Black woman in leadership. We need more. We don't have enough. But I think this episode will absolutely be an encouragement to any Black woman or woman who wants to aspire to do some of the things that you've been able to do. So I appreciate your transparency, just mm. sharing your journey and, you know, even challenges you've been dealing with and stuff. You know, I know it's really going to mean a lot to many people.
I appreciate that because, I mean, to be honest, there were times that I'm like, am I on the right path? Why am I here? God, I told you what I wanted to do. Why am I in property management? Why do I have to read this stupid code of ordinances and know all this, you know, technical stuff, right? Not knowing that all these different components of what ultimately a real estate developer is all of the above, right? And having the experiences of community engagement and of architecture, of planning processes, and all the above would culminate into who she is and who I'm still becoming.
Yeah.
But just being very transparent and saying that you may not know all the answers, but just keep walking. Just keep walking and keep believing in who you are, because no one else is going to. No one is going to save you. Like, it's on you. It's all on you, right?
Yeah.
And I think also sometimes it's like that passion sometimes can be anger, mm-hmm. right? Because you're tired of the same old stuff, right? Going back to what you said about the families who moved out. I'm tired of Ray-Raying them, stealing my stuff. Like, they broke into my car a couple times, right? And I'm just like, well, I also empathize because I know that they don't think they can do anything more than that. But you can, but you have to be the change that you seek. And I think it's very important to see your reflection, which is why I do try to be intentional to also spread the word. It's not just, you know, I need help and I need resources in order to help me on my mission. But I also think about that time when I was a grad student trying to figure out how am I going to show up with this big dream. And that's when I saw Kathy, right? And then she's literally talking about this project right across the street.
Yeah.
And that's when the light bulb went off for me. So I'm here to help shine my light and help other people turn on theirs.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Love it. Love it. So where can people reach out to you if they want to keep in touch with you, learn more about the land bank? We'd love if you could share that.
Yeah. So our website is HoustonLandBank.org. In terms of following me, you can find me on LinkedIn, just my name, Krista Stoneham, spelled like Stone Ham, or on Instagram. And I just do my best to try to reach back out when I can, or at least refer to a resource if it's not me, or just overall solutions. Because, yeah. You know, it takes all of us to move forward together. And I have no problem, and I welcome us moving forward together. I'm like, let's do it. Show up.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
It's been a jam-packed day
yeah.
for you. So I appreciate
it's all good. I appreciate you.
Definitely. Thank you so much. And thank you to everyone for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue. If you're on YouTube, make sure you subscribe to the channel, like this video. If you're on audio, make sure you leave a rating and review. Thank you all so much, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue. And be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.